Hello, and welcome to the Quest Church San Diego Sermon Podcast. Our church has a passion to reach people who are far from God, teach them to follow Jesus, and launch them out to serve God in the world. If you're in the San Diego area, we'd love for you to join us for a service. Please visit questsd.com to learn more about us, find out service times, and explore our ministries. If you have any questions, send us an email at info@questsd.com. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We are excited to be gathering tonight as we go into the Easter weekend to celebrate this Good Friday service. And you might be thinking, well, why do you call this Friday good? You might be familiar with the phrase TGIF, but I think tonight we need to change it a bit. TGIGF, thank goodness it's Good Friday. And that is because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And as we reflect on that sacrifice, there are many things that Jesus experienced during his last week on earth. In fact, during this time, we call it Passion Week. It's the last week of Jesus' life, and he continued to teach and to preach and to minister to people. In fact, before we get into our scripture verse for tonight, we see that there was a plot against Jesus because the religious rulers were jealous of his teaching and of his authority when he shared God's word. Also, they were jealous of the crowds that were following him. And so the religious leaders plotted to kill Jesus. And yet, he also goes into a home. And there in the home, he was anointed by a woman who Jesus delivered very powerfully from oppression in her life. And she anointed his feet and cried with great tears and washed Jesus's feet. And this was a picture of anointing Jesus's body for burial, which was going to happen in just a couple of days. And so there's this beautiful picture of worship and appreciation for who Jesus is and what he's come to do. But we also see one of Jesus' closest associates, one of his closest apostles, agree to betray Jesus for just a small little amount of money. And if you have your Bibles, whether in print or on your tablets or mobile devices, I would encourage you to turn and open them to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to be looking at a portion of Scripture, a time in which Jesus spent a very intimate moment with his disciples. And this is the part of Scripture that talks about the Lord's Supper. And in just a few minutes, at the end of our service tonight, we are going to partake of communion together, which through this teaching, we'll be able to appreciate and understand what communion means. I guess there's a lot of different events or verses or situations that you could look at during this time. Jesus hanging on the cross, there's seven sayings of Jesus on the cross, which is pretty remarkable because if you have been betrayed and you have been beaten and you have been broken and you have been crucified on a cross, to be able to even speak was excruciating pain. But the cross, according to the Gospels, what we see is not only a tool of excruciating pain for Jesus, but it is a picture of extravagant love for you and I. The Bible says that God demonstrated his own love towards us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That was extended to those who were crucifying Jesus on the hill of Golgotha, which that word translated means the place of the skull. And he was also forgiving every single one of us who would place our faith and trust in him because of his sacrifice, that substitution on the cross, the penalty that Jesus paid. He would also say, "It is finished," which is a remarkable thing, because you can tie every single scripture going back to the book of Genesis all the way through the law and the prophets and the Psalms, and you can see how in the Old Testament, Those writings were projecting the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, Jesus, who was to come, fulfilling over 400 different prophecies in the Old Testament in his life, ministry, death, and resurrection. And on the cross, he says, "It is finished." And what that means for you and I today is that there is nothing that you and I can add or subtract to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He's done it, he's paid it, and it is complete. The Bible says, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, you might know this verse, John 3:16. I believe we sang many of those words tonight in the songs, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, tonight we celebrate Good Friday because we're looking beyond the cross. We're seeing the benefits and the blessings that the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus provides for us. And it's good for us, but Good Friday was not good for Jesus. It cost him everything. In fact, one of the other things that Jesus said on the cross was, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus, Jesus was forsaken by the Father so that we would be forgiven by God. And when you think of the gravity and the power and the weight of that moment where Jesus was forsaken, I deserve that. We deserve that. We deserve the penalty that Jesus took on the cross for us. And prior to going to the cross, we see Jesus spend this quiet little moment in this upper room with 12 of his apostles, the closest disciples to him, and he institutes what is called the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper isn't anything new. It's actually a continuation or a fulfillment of a meal that had been celebrated for centuries, and that is the Passover meal. And so I draw your attention to Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, where we see Jesus institute the Lord's Supper. And we're going to read verses 26 through 30 tonight. And I want you to think about three things as we read through these verses. One is the broken Savior. Two is the busted up sinner, which is you and I. And third is the beautiful sacrifice. That's Jesus for us. So in verse 26 of Matthew 26, we read, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" So we'll just pause there because he's going to talk a little bit about the bread and the broken body. And then he's going to go on to talk about the juice, the wine, and his blood. But he uses a couple of phrases here. One is, as they were eating. And when you look at the other accounts in the other Gospels, you see that they were celebrating. In fact, the previous verses in chapter 26 talk about how they were celebrating the Passover meal. And the Passover meal was so important to the Jewish people because it brings them back to the time in which they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And it was through this powerful prophet, Moses, who God raised up, and he brought and said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." You might be familiar with that story, but there's the plagues that came upon Egypt. But the last plague was the plague of the angel of death. And that angel came and slaughtered anybody whose home was not covered by the sacrificial lamb. And so the Israelites were told to make this bread that was made without leaven. In fact, it was very quick and sudden. It was kind of a rushed sort of situation. Be ready in your household for this mighty angel to come. And so they made this bread. They also ate these bitter herbs and this salt water. There's kind of a bunch of different components to the Passover meal, but the main part of the meal was also the lamb. And the lamb was a sacrificial lamb that was prepared in order to provide the Passover, the safety and the security. In fact, Israelites would take the blood of that sacrificial lamb, and they were instructed to put it on the doorposts of their home. And when the angel of death came and they saw the blood that was on the doorpost, the angel passed over the death that would come to that home, and they were saved and they were delivered. When you look at the bread, even to this day, the Israelites celebrate this Passover meal in the Seder feast, and it is considered, there's a couple sayings during this meal, it is the bread of affliction, and they repeat that, the affliction that they experienced in Egypt under the oppression of the Egyptians. The bitter herbs were a picture and a symbol of the bitterness of slavery that they had in Egypt. Even the salt water, they reference the reminder of the tears that they would shed because of the oppression that they experienced in Egypt. But also when you get to the lamb that was sacrificed, the blood that was put on the doorpost is a picture of Jesus fulfilling all of these things in the New Testament. In fact, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life, and I will sustain you. I will provide for you." John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming to be baptized in the Jordan River, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. He's the bread of life. I love the book of Revelation that talks about how when Jesus comes again, he's going to wipe every tear from our eyes, that there will be no more pain, no more fear, no more separation from God. There is a healing. So this is the meal that Jesus is celebrating with his disciples. However, he's bringing in and instituting a new meaning and a new covenant and a new understanding, not abolishing the centuries of tradition in the Passover meal, but saying, the one who is the Lamb is here. The one who wipes away your tears is here. The one who delivers you from bondage and liberates you from sin is here. And he says, take this bread. It is a picture and a symbol of my body. Notice a couple of things about Jesus. He was betrayed, he was beaten, and he was broken. The other gospels tell us that Judas, actually even just prior to this in the previous verses, we're told that Judas betrayed Jesus for a little bit of money. And when I see Judas in the scriptures, and I also see in the last week of Jesus' life, you see Barabbas who was set free and Jesus who was taken to the cross, I tend to see myself in those individuals. I see the betrayal, the rejection, the denial, even Peter who denied Jesus three times on the night that he was betrayed. I mean, here was this guy that was so close to Jesus, and just a couple of hours before said, if everybody betrays you, I'm not going to betray you. And Jesus said, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to betray me three times. And all of this unjust trial and putting Jesus to death was done in the middle of the night out of jealousy, that Judas betrayed him. And I think we can all identify with that same sense of betraying Jesus because of our sin or denying him in certain areas of our lives. But the scriptures also talk about how the Messiah, the Christ, was to suffer. In fact, after Jesus resurrected from the dead, he spent a couple of hours with some of his disciples on the road to Emmaus and described for them, looking at the Old Testament scriptures, about why the Messiah was to suffer. See, they were confused about it. I don't know if you've ever been discouraged or disappointed. The disciples, in the moment of Jesus' death, crucified on the cross, was the greatest letdown of their lives. You see, they were expecting Jesus to come and to set up the kingdom, to be the conquering king, to deliver them from the oppression of the Romans, and to be their conqueror. But Jesus first came, as the scriptures tell us, as the suffering servant. He was beaten. The scripture says that we couldn't even look at his face and understand or see that he was a man, that he was beaten that he was mocked, that a bag was put over his head, and he was struck with rods, and he was made fun of to say, if you are the Messiah, then prophesy. Who was it that hit you in your face? The scriptures tell us that his beard was plucked out, and when it was pulled out, big chunks of flesh came out with his beard. The suffering and the agony and the pain that Jesus experienced was real. You remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just a couple of verses and chapters from now, he was praying, great drops of blood coming down because he was in such agony, knowing of what he was to encounter and experience in the cross and in the suffering and in the pain. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, Heavenly Father, yours be done. Jesus willingly laid down his life for you and I. This is the broken Savior. Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament, verses 5 through 8, says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our sins. The chastisement or the penalty for our peace was upon Jesus, and by his stripes, meaning the beatings and the whippings that he experienced, by his stripes, you and I are healed. Here in this picture, he's broken. And it is a picture and a symbol of his body that was broken for you and I. And he says, take, eat, this is my body, a symbol and a picture. Verse 27, continuing on, says, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And now he takes the cup. Jesus talked about this cup because he told his disciples, there was a conversation between some of his disciples who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, is that just like you and I, all filled with pride and arrogance? We want the front seat. We want to be up in front. We want to be seen by everybody. Well, the disciples were very similar. And Jesus said, are you willing to drink of the same cup that I'm going to drink of? And what he meant by that was that to accept, to embrace, and to take on for yourself the cup of suffering. Paul the Apostle would go on to say, I want to know Christ and the fellowship of his suffering. Because he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. And so this cup is a picture of his suffering to come. But he goes on to talk about this new covenant. Now, what does he mean by new covenant? Well, the Jews knew, and all people in this area knew, that there was an old covenant, an existing covenant, and that was the Mosaic covenant. You don't get any higher or any better or any more prestigious than Moses, maybe Abraham, but Moses, this was the covenant back in Exodus chapter 24, where God made this covenant with his people, and he inscribed for them his law and his sacrificial system, and the way in which to deal with the problems of sin, and the way to reconcile back a right relationship with God. But we know that the blood of animals and goats and sheep and pigeons and birds were insufficient to satisfy fully the penalty and the appeasement and the price for our sins. And that's why the innocent one, the sinless one, Jesus Christ, was to come and to fulfill the sacrificial lamb, but also this new covenant. In Exodus 24, the Mosaic covenant, which had all of God's laws and all of God's sacrifices, it was sealed and slaughtered with the blood of a bull. And this same covenant is being fulfilled and completed in the sacrifice of Jesus. He says, my blood. And this covenant goes beyond religion. It goes beyond tradition. It goes beyond the do's and the don'ts, the rights and the wrongs, the laws and the commands of God. It takes things personally. It brings them internally. The new covenant with the broken body of Jesus, with the shed blood of Jesus, brings an inner transformation. So now that we can live for God, it also cleanses us of our sin. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And Jesus shed his blood so that we can be forgiven. But thirdly, and wonderfully, it also brings us into a closer relationship with God. Whereas the law and the sacrifices, you remember that people couldn't come into the presence of God. Only one person could, and that was the high priest. And that was only once a day, or excuse me, once a year. And it was such a fearful role and a position. Not many people wanted the high priest job, because if you came before God inappropriately, then God would just cut you down right there. And they would tie a rope around the legs of the high priest and a bell around his feet. So if you heard him kind of going around inside, behind the veil, in the Holy of Holies, in the presence of God, you hear the bell going, little cowbells going on in the background. Okay, he's still alive. Everything's good. You don't hear the cowbells anymore. Something's wrong. And you pull the rope out. Wow. You remember when somebody reached out to hold the Ark of the Covenant when it was falling and they were immediately struck? I mean, the holiness and the reverence of God's presence. People like you and I could not come into the presence of God. But do you remember what happened when Jesus was crucified on the cross? There was a great earthquake, thunder and lightning. I think that's going to happen tonight. So hopefully all your shutters are closed and your gutters are clear. And your sandbags are up. But when Jesus was crucified, there was a period of 3 hours of complete darkness. And the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, meaning that Jesus made a way for us to come into and have access to God. He made that way. He's our great high priest. He doesn't need bells because he shook everything. And in just a couple of days, even though we celebrate the death of Jesus on Good Friday, there's good news. Sunday's coming. And when Sunday comes, the tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away. And there's another earthquake that shakes all of humanity, because the empty tomb provides that exclamation point and the proof of who Jesus is and what he has come to do. So we have the busted up sinner, as I like to say, and I like to identify with in this portion of scripture. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? To save sinners like you and I. And if we would acknowledge and we would confess our desperate condition before a holy God, the Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. This is a personal decision that you recognize and understand before a holy God in your heart and in your life, believing in the sacrifice and love of God demonstrated for you through Jesus Christ, his broken body and his shed blood. This is the beautiful sacrifice. Why? Because the word is the remission of sins. The word remission means to cancel a debt or a charge or a penalty. And I believe, as I mentioned earlier, the wages or the penalty of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world. God is not condemning you, but he sent Jesus into this world to save you and I. He was dispatched for that very purpose. And notice the word there in verse 28, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for, what's the word? Many. Everyone say many. Okay, now let's do this. Now say me. Yeah. Many, all, but make it personal, me. For God so loved the world, yes, all, whosoever would come to him. But maybe put your name in there too. For God so loved Sherwood. Wow, that blows me away. That brings me to tears. That breaks my heart. That drops me to my knees. That lifts my hands in praise. The Bible says Every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Friend, brother, sister, beloved, if it's going to happen then and you haven't done it yet, get ready and do it now. Make sure your heart is right with God. Make sure you have accepted his sacrifice and his way. You see, when the blood of Jesus is on you, the penalty of sin is off of you. And Jesus has come for many. You see, Jesus was shackled so we could be freed. Jesus died so we could live. And Jesus was punished so we could be forgiven. I'm going to have our worship team come on up and lead us in a closing song, but also to continue in preparing our hearts for partaking of communion. And you guys can just sit right there. We have our ushers that are going to serve you communion. So when the plate comes along, you can pick one of the cups. They are double stacked. The bread's on the bottom cup. The juice is on the top. So pick a stack of cups out. And let me just encourage you, as we're singing this song, as we're reflecting on this sacrifice, as we're remembering Jesus' death on the cross and the purpose of his coming, the brokenness of Jesus' body, maybe you can even take a look at that bread. And some of the bread is burnt along the edges. It's been pierced. It has been broken and chipped. And you can just thank God for Jesus' sacrifice, for his broken body, for his pierced body on the cross. And think about the sin that put him there. That's every single one of us in this room. And if God brings those things to remembrance at this moment, get right with God. Confess them. Say, God, forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me as white as new, as white as snow, and make me new. Born again because of that sacrifice, the remission. We no longer have a debt to pay. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Right? Just as that song goes. There's no charge. There's no penalty. We've been set free. Now, you know what that means? If you're a Christ follower and you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb and you've been bought, born, and blessed and adopted into the family of God, well then, you live as free men and women following Jesus. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We remember your sacrifice tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us for the Quest Church San Diego Sermon Podcast. We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you have any questions about the Bible, need prayer, or recently made a commitment to follow Jesus, we'd love to hear from you. Please visit questsd.com to get connected. You can also send us an email at info@questsd.com to let us know how God is using these messages to encourage you in your walk with Jesus. Until next time, we pray you have a blessed week.